Hi, everyone, and I'd like to welcome you to our continuing series of podcasts at the ISC West 2019 event here in Las Vegas. Today, we're happy to have Peter Borskin, the Chief Technology Officer of ASSA ABLOY, and we're going to talk a little bit about the environment that is access control today, and where it's taking us, and what the trends and drivers are, and you know, have Peter sort of expound his scope of knowledge and let us know what the some of the main drivers are in this industry. Peter, right now you had a press conference this afternoon, and you talked a lot about the different things that you think are reaching critical mass for integrators and for end users as far as the access control industry. Talk a little bit about some of those trends and some of the main drivers you see that are really changing the landscape of access control.
Sure, thanks, Steve. Well, one of the ones I think that has become a real megatrend is mobile within the security industry. With over 5 billion mobile handsets out there, and nearly half of them are intelligent smart devices, the ability to use mobile devices as an intelligent credential, whether that's getting into your single family residence or your vacation home, whether that's being used to get into your Airbnb or hotel, we're seeing that a lot of uptake, especially when it's dealing with the challenge of how do you provision a mobile workforce. So some of the things that we're seeing, especially in hotels where everyone is short time in that location, hotels are really taking advantage of the mobile credentials. And then in the college and university higher education space, we say to them, not only do you have a sort of a transitory group of faculty, staff, and students, but they also have the additional benefit of having this closed ecosystem where they can use that mobile device for vending, for dining, for accessing printing or IT assets, as well as the dormitory, common areas, and the campus in general. So I think because they can do so many different applications on that same mobile credential, and students are much less likely to lose their phone than they are to lose a card or a fob, I think that's a real sweet spot for mobile. And I think as the commercial industry or commercial applications look at what's being done in higher ed, I think they're starting to take a page out of that book and think about, well, if I want to have printing or if I want to have parking management on that same device, I can do that.
So are we looking at RFID? Are we looking at Bluetooth? What exactly are the technologies that are driving the mobile?
The two main ones, as you mentioned, are NFC and Bluetooth. I think NFC people are getting a lot more comfortable with because so much of the mobile payment environment is driving that.
Well, NFC sort of got a bad rap there early when it was rolled out. Kind of talk a little bit about what kind of tainted the image of NFC and how it's becoming a little more stabilized.
Sure. I think early on, NFC was very much based on a MyFair-like experience.
Right.
And because there wasn't a ton of security in that transaction, I think people shied away from it initially. But today, I think two things are fundamentally different about NFC. One, it's being used as just a media. So just like the internet, right? If you put an unencrypted, unprotected, unfirewalled laptop on the internet, you would not be long before having a lot of problems, right? And malware and viruses and worms. But we recognize that even though the internet itself may not necessarily be secure, we can create an end-to-end tunnel over it, a secure tunnel over it, and we can deliver. We do our online banking and manage our 401ks, and we don't think anything about it, even though that's on a network that has all kinds of other traffic. And I think now that folks are starting to look at NFC and driving secure connections over NFC, I think people are feeling a lot more comfortable about it. Additionally, the ability to have those transactions be one-time transactions. Furthermore, and I'm speaking specifically from payment, where today when you use a mobile payment terminal, that transaction is a one time, so that even if you were to pluck it out of the air or catch it somehow, there's no replaying that. There's no value in replaying that. So I think those two things in concert have made people a lot more confident about mobile payment and the application. And today, it's more secure to use your phone to do a credit card transaction than it is to use your credit card.
So that being the sort of foundational premise on that, the smartphone as a credential is probably a lot more robust than would be just a regular two authentication card.
Very much so. I mean, and you mentioned dual authentication. Once you have a policy on the phone that says you need to unlock the phone with a PIN, with a biometric, with both, with some long passcode or another hard token, you can make the unlocking of that little square or rectangle in your pocket a lot more secure than a card that you might stick in your wallet, your purse, or have in a lanyard around your neck. Not only that, but even when it's time to remove a person from a particular system, when you have physical tokens, you have to physically collect them. Certainly you can turn them off in the system, but unless you physically collect that token, they still have some proof of identity that may or may not be valid any longer. Whereas if it's on a mobile device, you can connect over the air and revoke that remotely.
Right.
So you have at least a few other opportunities to deprovision that than you would otherwise have.
Where else are we on the roadmap as far as drivers?
So some other large drivers that we see are now addressing unmanned critical infrastructure. One of the things that you see every day, but you don't realize, when you pull up to the stoplight, you look left and you look right, you see that little silver box somewhere at the intersection that's managing all of the lights and the power supply and all of the infrastructure that needs to manage the traffic at that location. By and large, these are all mechanically locked cabinets. And if I have someone who needs to provide service at that location, I somehow need to get a physical brass key into the hands of that person before they can perform any service at that intersection. So with the proliferation of things like intelligent keys, we now have the ability to deploy keys to a large workforce, but the keys don't unlock anything until they have been granted the rights or permissions to do so. So it's turned the master keying solution on its head. You have a history, or you have a group of people who have keys that don't unlock anything, and then those keys can be connected Bluetooth to a mobile device, and I could say, okay, for the next 8 hours you need to perform service or maintenance at this particular intersection. I'll grant you rights to that traffic cabinet for 8 hours, and at the end of 8 hours it's rescinded. So it gives us the ability for auditability, accountability, and it's an easily retrofittable type of solution. So that's another key trend that I think is a nice bridge of both wanting to secure more things and being able to do that without the infrastructure necessarily that was required.
So what else are we talking about as far as the access control functionality?
Well, another thing that we're seeing, and this is a huge trend, is this online retail explosion, online delivery, unattended delivery, especially in multifamily and in retail. If you go to any multifamily building today, there's typically a sea of Amazon packages and other companies' packages around the front of the building. If you have a doorman who can stand there and make sure that only the right people get them, that's ideal. Most buildings don't have that, and so it's a real challenge as to how do you manage the secure, unattended delivery of packages and anything that might go onto that facility. So we just added a new member to the Assa Abloy family, a group called Luxor One out of California. And this is their entire focus, the ability to connect to that delivery so that the delivery specialist can choose a particular locker that's the right size and shape for what's being delivered, And once they deliver that into the box, then a person's going to get an SMS on their phone to say you have a delivery. You might have a picture of the box or the material that's being delivered, and they can quickly and easily retrieve that without having to worry about the theft of their packages before they can get home from work or wherever they may be.
What about some options that SLA might have for multi-tenant buildings where you've got varied businesses, you've got different levels of security needed and different floors, tying into elevator control and even also with possible building automation with returning some investment onto the building as far as utilities go. You know, what are we looking at when we talk about that?
That's a great question, and it hits a few different areas. Buildings are looking at reducing power consumption, so I think it goes to sustainability. And over the course of time, we've launched not only traditional locks, but also exit devices, now power supplies and magnets that have all reduced the power consumption in the building to try and return more value from the security infrastructure to the building. But specifically in multifamily, oftentimes that multifamily, if it's a retrofit environment, does not have wired or wireless infrastructure to support it. And so here again, we're leveraging both the power of the cloud to reduce the infrastructure costs and the power of secure credentials, smart card credentials, to manage a data on card solution. So in this way, we can have intelligent locks on the common areas as well as the tenant spaces, but those locks don't have to be connected to a wireless infrastructure or a wired infrastructure. If we have, as you mentioned, an elevator lobby, as a tenant comes up to that elevator lobby and presents their credential, not only are they calling the elevator or unlocking the front door or the garage door, but in so doing, they're being their credentials being written with the rights and privileges of all of the offline locations that they can go to. And it's a way to provide updating ongoing credentials. It's a way to backhaul the information of who, where, when. So as they're presenting there, any of the previous transactions get sent up to the cloud. And it allows the building manager to use their smartphone, their tablet, their laptop, any place they can get to the web, they can access and manage that facility. So we're looking at, and we spend time with the property managers to understand what are the challenges. One of the things that we made an addition to the product around is this a lockout event. Right. So historically, if you were using connected PDA to manage locks, if someone was locked out of their facility, you had to get the building superintendent with a laptop or PDA to go out to the facility and interact to the tenant space and unlock it. And it's a lot of time, it's a lot of energy, and tenant's not happy about waiting, and the building super is certainly not happy to do that a few times a day. So we were able to bake into the locks, since they have keypads, a one-time PIN. So that if someone goes out for a run or a bike ride and forgets their card in their apartment, they can call the central station or call the building superintendent, who can pull up their phone, generate a one-time PIN, and allow them to get back into that apartment. That PIN's not going to work on that door again, so it doesn't really matter if they wrote it down on a piece of paper and dropped it on their front door. It's not going to reduce the security, and it's a nice, convenient way of getting them around. So we're trying to not only provide good security, but also provide convenience. And I think that goes to the mobile discussion as well.
Convenience is king.
Absolutely. And I think in the not-too-distant past, it was convenience or security.
Right.
And I think what's new, or what we're seeing now, that's a nice marriage of those two, is just convenience and security.
Yeah, that's a good segue to the enterprise space, where now you're looking at the triple threat of risk, compliance, and total cost of ownership, that really is driving customers to look for solutions, because not only are we looking at protecting physical spaces and physical assets, but we also got to be concerned now with end devices, that we've got to protect data and network security. So, you know, how are we looking at the bold new environment, the bold new world where cyber and physical access control are sort of at the crossroads?
Two things that you mentioned there, and I'll try to hit them both. One is sort of the impact of the enterprise, or impact on the enterprise space of the sort of changing environment of how workers work in that enterprise space.
Right.
One of the things that we see there is the fact that most employees are not necessarily spending 5 days in the office any longer.
Right.
Or if they're spending 5 days in the office, it might not be the same office for all 5 days. So being able to hot desk or hotel people into an office for some number of hours or some number of days in the week and then move them on to another location. One of the things that we've tried to do is specifically around retrofit to be able to deploy access control, wireless access control, quickly and easily, and tie that back into some of these systems where when I come into the office and I present my badge to the system or I log into the system, they're intelligent enough to set the building directory to let it know where I am. I'm here for the day. My telephone might roll to a desk that I've been hoteled in to that building. My access card might allow me into that glass conference room door or into that small office to use that particular facility for the day. Or it might just be a locker that has a few power plugs in it so I can plug my laptop and my tablet and my phone in there as I'm going about the business. And I think it's not really a security application necessarily, but it's leveraging the security infrastructure to get more out of it.
Exactly.
And have them do what they do more easily. I think that's on the one side of us enabling convenience and enabling kind of this new way of working. On the cybersecurity side, to your point, I think we've seen a lot more scrutiny of the IT security or cybersecurity of physical security within the last 18 to 24 months, especially on the backs of some pretty high profile attacks on infrastructure, attacks on security products. In some cases, some security products were used as a vector to attack other things.
Right.
And I think we as an industry took notice, and we wanted to make sure that we're doing a better job. I know that, you know, we and others in the industry are doing a lot more penetration testing with third parties than we have done before. I think, you know, in the past, penetration and cybersecurity had been more done in-house, and it's such a fast-changing industry. I mean, even from one day to the next,
right,
there are new exploits, there are new vulnerabilities that get unearthed, and I think third-party validation and third-party penetration testing is something that we're going to see much more going forward, just because they are experts in that and they are up to the moment in terms of the state of the art. And I think we can provide good physical security. That's how we that's what we bring to the table, and they can provide good IT security. And so together, I think it's kind of a nice marriage of those two different disciplines.
I think that's a perfect place to end the podcast. Peter, I want to thank you for joining us today and taking us down the path for future endeavors in access control and where the new world is taking us as far as ASSA ABLOY is concerned. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will have another podcast from ISC West 2019 sometime this week. Thanks for joining us.